love you, Lord. Oh, your mercy never fails me. And all my days I've been held in your hand. From the moment that I wake up until I lay my head, oh, I will sing of the goodness of God.
To God, hallelujah. We will definitely sing and keep singing of the goodness of God. Beautiful music there by Bethel Music featuring Jen Johnson titled Goodness of God. I'm sure you like the song anyway. Oh, yes, you are welcome to the Morning Faith Boost. Yesterday, we had our 60th episode. Yippee, yippee, yippee. All right, so today is the 61st. So God's been good. God's been super, super, super amazing to us. I mean, okay, so what do we say? How time flies? All right. But so grateful to God for lives that have been impacted, people encouraged, people strengthened in their walk with God. It's just been a privilege to be here, knowing you're always there, knowing you're out there to listen, to be blessed in the midst of your day. Just thank you for always tuning in. Thank you for allowing us bring God's word to you. And thank you. Thank you for loving God's word. Amen. Amen. So, all right, today, gift of righteousness, part 4. Are you ready? So, yesterday, we looked into certain very interesting things. And please stick your mind there, all right? The gift of righteousness. What is this gift? It's a gift. I mean, we're talking about the biggest gift God gave humanity. I know when we share testimonies, we say, oh, I just got a new car. Oh, I just got. No. Righteousness is bigger than that as a gift. Because what man now has restored was what Adam lost. For all have sinned and have fallen short of the glory of God. All right, so man fell. Man was sent off that presence of God. The gift of righteousness brings you back into the presence of God as if there was no sin. As if there... Oh my goodness, did anybody just hear what I said? So you cannot even pray effectively without this gift of righteousness. You can't. You can't talk to God. You can't approach Him. In the Old Testament, right, only the high priest could go into the Holy of Holies, and he couldn't even go without blood. And he had to first do some sacrifice for himself, then he would be able to do for the rest of the people. In the New Testament, we find that when Jesus hung on the cross, right, in the transition, into the New Testament, the curtain of the temple tore. God is saying the way is now available for everybody. If you now are a believer in Christ, yes, you have access straight up to the very throne of grace. That for us might be so, I could pray. No. Nobody could do that back then. You had to go meet a priest, and then there were certain things. It was like, no. Now you and I have got access. Now, you and I, you know, can now, oh God, call God Father. We've now been brought into the family. That's why he told us, was it the first episode and the second, that there's something about being forgiven, but it's something else to be given the gift of righteousness. The gift of righteousness is the nature of God. God is righteous. God is holy. Now, I know you might want to separate righteousness from holiness, but they spring from the same source. You are holy. No, yes. You are a chosen generation. You are a royal priesthood. You are a holy nation. You are holy. You are part of the holy people. You are a saint. So maybe you grew up with saints are those, all right, who served God exceedingly, you know, in their lifetime, served humanity, and then maybe at the point of their death, all right, someone dubbed them popes, you know. So, I mean, we're all going to revere you. No, someone dubbed them saints, all right. A saint is one who is separated unto God. Some say, yeah, see, separated by your actions. No, you're separated by the blood. If you read the writings of Paul, for instance, in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, Paul called the people in Corinth, he called them saints. But guys, by chapter 3, he said they were carnal. All right? But chapter 5 says someone's bringing his daddy's wife to church. You know, and, you know, sleeping with her in private and then still, you know, making it public. I mean, not being ashamed of it. And then the whole church knew. Obviously, that means the whole city knew about it. Because then there were not many churches, if you understand. It was just one church in Corinth. All right? By chapter 6, was addressing, you know, them, you know, guys were taking themselves to court. By chapter 7, they had to answer issues on, should I touch someone who I've not married yet and all that. By chapter 8, food offered to idols. Chapter 10, food offered to idols. Chapter 11. Some guys will come, you know, you know, ahead of the love feast and eat up almost the whole food there. But chapter 12 was telling them how that they were abusing the gifts of the Spirit and how that they needed to know how better to put the gifts in use. By chapter 13, he had to talk to them about love. He wouldn't have talked to them about love if he didn't think that it was he needed to be talked about. Said, I mean, you guys have a lot of gifts. You use a lot of faith, but I don't see maturity of love. She started saying, if you have this, you don't have love. Guys, you're nothing. 14th chapter was trying to balance their use of tongues and interpretation of tongues. That was a Corinthian church. But it starts in chapter 1 and said, saints. So that means saints can be people living. Saints are people living. What used to, when they are dead, they become saints. So when I'm dead, my church will dub me and say, no, saints are alive. And saints are not perfect. Oh, she thinks she's a saint. You know, that kind of, oh, she thinks. No, saints are saints. Every believer is a saint. Then you grow. And that life, that sanctified life within your spirit finds more and more expression as you put your body under and you renew your mind according to Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. You have to put your flesh under. Stop allowing your flesh dictate everything you do. And then you've got to renew your mind. Romans 12, 1 and 2. Then the life of God, the treasures within you will find greater expression. Oh, thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. So you and I are saints. You and I are righteous. We now have access. We have access to God to call him Father. You cannot do this, guys. You can't call God Father if you are not righteous. By this gift of righteousness, we've been brought into the house, into God's very bedroom, if I could say. That's what it does. And it doesn't make you sleep on the floor. Righteousness means no condemnation. Righteousness means no sin. Righteousness means as though sin never existed in all my life. That's the gift. That's why Romans 5, guys. You remember Romans 4, all right? We'll do Romans 4. That's why Romans 4, are you ready? All right, the sixth verse of Romans 4 says, David says the same thing when he speaks of the blessedness of the one to whom God credits righteousness apart from works. I'm reading the NIV. David says the same blessedness. All right? This is like, oh my God, what a privilege. Verse 7, blessed are those whose transgressions are forgiven, whose sins are covered. Number 8, verse 8. Now, blessed is the one whose sin the Lord will never count against them. Guys, this is big stuff. Why would God never count your sins against you? Because all your sins have been charged to the account of Jesus Christ. Oh my goodness. Oh, but if we teach these things, people could, it is the gospel. The gospel means good news. The gospel means news too good to be true. Yeah, someone's flesh might take advantage of that and abuse it, but it's still good news. The same way you give people privileges and someone might be too familiar and abuse the privilege, doesn't mean you have to withdraw the privileges. You just enlighten those that are taking it for granted. The gospel is news too good to be true. Now I have access. Now the Holy Ghost can live in me. Why? Because God washed me by the blood of the Lamb. So I don't approach God and say things like, I'm a sinner, I'm only saved by grace, but I'm a sinner. No, you are either a sinner or you've been saved by grace. You choose one. If you've been saved by grace, then you are no longer a sinner. Oh, but I did something wrong yesterday. A lot of people did. But are you still with the sin of Adam? Or have you received Christ? If you have, then the life of Christ, the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus has found expression in you. You have now become the righteousness of God. This is serious stuff. So it's a blessing, like wow, wow, wow. But who can ever get this? Nobody. That's why it cannot be achieved by the law. Do you understand? It has to be a gift. And this is one of those things that you are ever grateful for. One of those things, no one that, you know, Psalm 103, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Forget not all his benefits. He forgave, guys. He forgave all our iniquities. Do you understand that? All. He forgave all our iniquities. Every single thing was blotted out. He said, your sins and iniquities will lie. Remember no more. There's nothing we will do to get that. It is a gift of grace. It is an act of love and kindness and mercy. It is just a combination of God's graciousness towards us. Looking at that, Psalm 103, guys. Okay. Bible says from verse 8, the Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, plenteous in mercy. Don't paint in your mind a God that is always angry like Shango. God is slow to anger, plenteous in mercy. He will not always chide. He won't be finding fault and poking you and harass. He will not always chide. Neither will he keep his anger forever. I'm reading Psalm 103, the same place where we find, bless the Lord, O my soul. So if you've never had to read a little bit down, this is it, guys. Verse 10 says, he has not dealt with us according to our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. Isn't this a blessing? And this is a revelation coming from someone under the old covenant. He has not dealt with us according to our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. Look at the 11th verse. He, you know, for has the heavens is higher above the earth, so great is his mercy toward them that fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. We did not remove our transgressions. He removed our transgressions. Are you getting this, guys? We didn't remove our transgressions. He removed our transgressions. People, you know, go to Isaiah and begin to read from Isaiah. Oh, you know, my hand is not short that I cannot reach out to you. It is your iniquity. Your iniquity is plenty. Your iniquity, says the Lord, your iniquity. You know, and then we read it and everybody feels bad. Oh, God is not saying that he cannot reach out to us. God is not saying that he cannot bless us. But God is saying that, you know, our sins have come in between us and him. And yes, it is true. Sin came in between God and man. Yes, yes, yes. So God stepped out of heaven, stepped into the person of Christ Jesus to remove the sin. Glory to God. Anybody getting blessed by this? All right? God could have just said, you know, your sin has come in between me and you, so you do something about it. You do. No, God now came in the person of Christ Jesus. You know? Came in the person of Christ Jesus. You know, I was making reference to Isaiah 59 from the first verse. The Lord's hand is not shortened that he cannot save. Neither is his ear heavy that he cannot hear. But your iniquities have separated between you and your God. And your sins have hid his face from you that he will not hear you. Oh, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. God's gift of righteousness. You need to see this, people of God. Let me take you quickly to 2 Corinthians in chapter 5. To explain to you what we just read now, the God's version of what you saw in Isaiah 59. Oh, my hand cannot get to you. Your sin. They've created a bridge and a barrier, you know, between me and you. Yes, it's true. Oh, yes, it's true. But what did God do about it? What did God do? So 2 Corinthians chapter 5, you know, the 19th verse. Says God was in Christ, reconciling the world to himself, not counting people's sins against them. And God has committed to us the word of reconciliation. Did you get that? Sin separated man from God. Yes, God now took a step, left heaven, as it were, in the person of Christ Jesus, and came by himself to sort the sin problem between God and man, to break the barrier, to destroy the bridge that sin had created. And there was now reconciliation between God and man through the blood of Jesus. Man could never solve the sin problem. Man could never. Man created a mess too big for him to clean. Man could never solve the sin problem. God had to, by himself, solve the sin problem. The blood of goats, the blood of bulls, the ashes of Haifa could never ever take away sin. Jesus, God himself, had to become man to shed divine blood, because all human blood was impure. So all the blood of animals could do was atonement. Cover for the sin. And I told you, atonement is like I write something on a piece of paper, then I use my hand to cover it. But what we have now is remission. The thing written on the paper, no matter the kind of ink it was, has been wiped out, expunged, no record. Your sins and iniquities, God says, I will remember no more. So don't come to God and say, God, you know what I did last night? You know what I did the day before? You know, yesterday, you know what I said at my office was wrong? You know, I really hurt that person's feelings. You've said sorry. You told God you're sorry about it. If you mention it to God again, God doesn't have a record of it. Listen, God doesn't have short memory, but when it comes to sin, it's as if he has a super short memory. He says, your sins and iniquities will I remember no more. Let me read to you Amplified Classic. Of this 2 Corinthians chapter 5, the Amplified Classic, all right? Amplified Classic says, God, all right, it was God personally present in Christ, reconciling and restoring the world to favor with himself, not counting up and holding against men their trespasses, but canceling them and committing to us the message of reconciliation, of restoration to favor. So our business now is to tell every other person, God is not counting your sins against you. God has forgiven you. God in Christ has, God sorted out the sin problem with Christ. Oh, this is beautiful news, guys. This is too good to be true. God is not counting people's sins against them. So people will not go to hell because they smoke. Nobody's going to go to hell because they stole or steal. No, people will go to hell because they have not accepted the gift of righteousness. They've not accepted, listen, for God so loved the world, John 3:16, that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes in him will not perish but have everlasting life. That's it. God sent his son, verse 18 into 19, into the world, not to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth is not condemned. He that believeth not is condemned already because he didn't believe in the only begotten Son of God. So the condemnation is not the action of sin, but the nature of sin. So anybody going to hell right now would only go to hell because the person refused to accept the thing that Jesus did. This is it. There is righteousness by works that can never really become righteousness because nobody can ever become righteousness by works. So what God wants all of us to do is, okay, I've seen it now. I can't do this by myself. So I believe, I have faith in what Jesus came to do. I believe he came as a man to this earth. I believe he died for me. I believe he shed his blood for me. Jesus, I confess you as the Lord of my life. The moment you do that, you become born again. How? You become transformed within you. You receive a gift of righteousness. So you say, I'm born again, but this is what you are saying happened to you. You have now been accepted. You are no longer a slave. You are now a child of God. You are now a member of the house. You sleep on the bed, in the bedroom. You open the fridge. You could cook in the kitchen. You don't get there and say, I don't know, madam might not like it. Madam might talk. No, that's sin consciousness. And that keeps happening to many believers. You cannot start your day without saying, oh, Father, forgive me my sin. Forgive me today. Forgive me today. No, it is sin consciousness. Oh, but are you saying we shouldn't ask God to forgive us our sins? If you do something wrong, then say, Father, forgive me. But you don't make it a ritual. You don't make it a, oh, morning devotion. Good morning, Jesus. Good morning, Lord. And then you now say, oh, Father, forgive us. No. Listen, even when Jesus taught the Lord's Prayer, he didn't put forgiveness of sin first or second. Some say, really? Yeah. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. We finish praising God, we start praying about kingdom expansion. If we're going to use that as like a structure, not because God is asking anybody to pray that prayer. Even the apostles didn't pray. You know, they understood what Jesus was teaching them. All right, so our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as in heaven, right? Give us this day our daily bread and forgive us our sins. So they were taught to ask for bread even before they asked for forgiveness of sin. It's on his head going, it is not God now teaching you to be careless and callous. No. It's because, listen, like every time your child, you know, comes to ask you for food, your child has to start with, you know, I know I'm not worthy. I know I'm not useful. I know I'm a mistake. I know, mommy, I know, you know, daddy, I know, and I know you just have pity on me. Yeah, so please pity me and give me lunch today. How do you like that? But that's how the prayer of many, many believers sound. You have to go start telling God how unworthy you are, how unrighteous you are, how that you're just but dust. And then you finish just washing and downgrading what Jesus paid the ultimate price for. That's not prayer, guys. That's insult. Insult upon his heart of love. Insult upon the one who came down to the earth and became a man and raised mankind up to sit together with him in heavenly places. That's not being humble. That's not humility. That's insult. Are you getting me? I'm not saying you're insulting the blood and all that, but I'm just saying that's you just not having value and thinking you're being holy and righteous. No, you're just spitting out ignorance. He went all the way. Like someone goes all the way, gets you an accommodation somewhere so you can attend the conference, you know, loads it up with, you know, stuff. The fridge is loaded. You know, you've got a kitchenette. You can make your stuff if you want to. I mean, person did all that, paid for the room. And person comes back. You never touched the bed. You slept on the floor for 5 days of a conference. And then you went to buy stuff down the road. Like Gary and Bolly and Kuli, hope everybody understands, you know. You just buy stuff down the road, never touched anything. But this is why. He said, I just wanted to let you know I appreciate everything. If you appreciate everything I've done, you just wasted my money. You just wasted the money. It's not humility. You just wasted the money. And then the conference is over. So the money paid for the hotel is gone. You didn't use it. The bed you never slept on. Everything put here you never used. I just wanted you to know I won't take you for granted. So I just felt I should sleep on the floor. You know, the bed. You know, I just felt it was too high for me. Ah, my kind. Ah, who am I? Who am I for my father's house? Stop that. You can't keep talking to God, and that's how you talk to him. He has now brought you from that, your father's house. And then he has brought you into the kingdom. And then he brought you as a seed of Abraham. And then he made you his righteousness. And then he loved you with an everlasting love. And then he made you in union with Christ. And then he made you sit together with him in heavenly places. Give you rights and privileges and blessings in Christ. That's what he has done. So stop talking to him like, oh God, oh God, oh God. You know, I just know I'm not useful. I'm not worthy. You know, I just know you're just mine. Stop it. Seriously. Seriously, stop it. The 21st verse, you know, of this 2 Corinthians, all right? 2 Corinthians 5 and 21 says, for our sake, Christ, all right, virtually, all right, for our sake, he, God, made Christ virtually to be sin, who knew no sin, so that in him and through him, we might become endued with, viewed as being in examples of the righteousness of God. Jesus didn't know no sin, didn't do any sin. We were in sin. So he took all our sin, became sin, gave us the free gift of righteousness. So you and I have become the righteousness of God in Christ. This is beautiful. This is who you are. Stop calling yourself a sinner. Stop calling yourself, I'm just but dust. Stop saying stuff God isn't saying about you, child of God. Stop saying it. So quickly to that Romans 9 we looked at yesterday. Oh, this is beautiful. I believe you're being blessed. None of us could get this, but no works, nothing you could do could give you this gift of righteousness. Nothing. Like seriously, nothing. Seriously. Nothing you could ever do will give you this gift of righteousness. All right. So Romans 9, all right? And it's Romans 9, you find, it's not of him that willeth, nor of, you know, God of that shows mercy. And all, yeah, but at the end of it, he was going somewhere. So read the whole of Romans 9, but see where he's going. Verse 30, and then you could use some easier to be understood languages. I'm okay with King James. But I notice many people might not be. They don't get the gist easily. Verse 30 says, what does all this mean? Even though the Gentiles were not trying to follow God's standards, all right? Even though the Gentiles were not trying to follow God's standards, they were made right with God. And it was by faith that that took place, all right? The Gentiles that were not seeking righteousness became righteous. But the people of Israel who tried so hard to get right with God by keeping the law never succeeded. Why not? Because they were trying to get right with God by keeping the law instead of by trusting Him. They stumbled. All right, they stumbled over the great rock in the path. What does the Passion Translation have to tell us? So then, what does all this mean? Here is the irony. The non-Jewish people who weren't even pursuing righteousness, they were not even pursuing righteousness, were the ones who seized it, a perfect righteousness that is transferred by faith. Yet Israel, even though pursuing a legal righteousness, did not attain it. And why was that? Because they did not pursue the path of faith, but insisted on pursuing righteousness by works. Righteousness is a free gift. Or you receive it by faith, by confessing Jesus as Lord of your life. So many people say, oh, I'm born again now. My sins were taken away. Not just that, you were given the gift of righteousness. You're not just a forgiving person. No. A million times, no. You were not just a forgiving person. Your nature was changed. You have a new nature. You are now a saint. You are now holy. The day you got born again, listen, man gives birth to man. Cat gives birth to cat. Dog gives birth to God. God, who is righteous and holy, gives birth to children that are righteous and holy. Hallelujah. So I'm going to end there. Ephesians in the 4th chapter. Ephesians chapter 4. All right. We'll pick it quickly from the 22nd verse. Ephesians 4:22. All right. Paul says here, throw off your old nature and your former way of life, which is corrupted by lust and deception. All right. He's telling them, hey, change your ways. Change your mindset. Verse 23, instead, let the Spirit renew your thoughts and attitude, not your nature. You have a new nature. Look at verse 24. Put on your new nature, created to be like God, truly righteous and holy. I'm reading the NLT. Put on. Now, how do you put on a nature? Where is it? Where is it in my wardrobe? How do I wear it? Where is it amongst my shoe rack? Where is it among my shoes? All right, where is it in your you know where now? Maybe you have a closet somewhere, or you have a, you know, your box. So where is your new nature in that your box now that you can put it on? Where? In your wardrobe, all right? Where is it? No, he's telling them there's a new mindset. You have a new nature, so stop thinking like the old person. Think like a new person. Put on the new nature created like God. God gave birth to your spirit. He that is born of the flesh is flesh. He that is born of the spirit is spirit. Your spirit is born by God, born of God. So you are righteous. That your spirit is clean, holy. Hallelujah. Holy. Righteous and holy. Righteous and holy. Righteous and holy. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Passion transition. Let me quickly end. All right. And to be transformed as you embrace the glorious Christ within as your new life and live in union with him. Watch this. For God has recreated you all over again in his perfect righteousness. And you now belong to him in the realm of true holiness. You are righteous, child of God. And you are holy. NIV, to put on the new self created to be like God in true righteousness. True holy, you holiness, you are righteous, you are holy. Walk through today. I could ask you, if you don't mind, play this teaching again today. Please play it a second time. Please, if you can, a third time. And share this with everybody around you. This is good news. This is the gospel. Too good to be true. Too good to be true. Too good to be true. And I will see you tomorrow. Have a beautiful day. The goodness of God.